I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
Big thing that difference to me after this loss, obviously, is the hustle. It was non-existent for the Celtics. But I am getting texts from people now at this point who are so frustrated with what they saw on the court. The biggest thing was the Celtics' inability to score against the zone, which they saw in the Toronto series. And they saw the box and one, of course, too. But Matt, when you look at what the Celtics' inability to produce really any offense against that, whether it's the third quarter or the fourth as well, what do you think that – I mean, Stevens didn't make any adjustment. What do you think he should have done?
Be an NBA coach.
That's a weird take, but okay.
He's literally gotten out-coached in both games, and it's not even close. It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. I just don't understand how a team throws a zone at you and plays it for that long. And to me, a 2-3 zone is stuff I see people do in middle school. How can you not beat a 2-3 zone? You have NBA players. You can't even stand in the middle of the paint. Like, the guy playing the middle of the zone has to continuously move in and out of the paint. How do you not beat? It's not like they can stand in the paint like in college and be an effective like Syracuse zone.
Right.
It's some makeshift 2-3.
Isn't it? So, I mean, if you're playing his own defense, that's basically admitting you can't hang man-to-man with that team.
I would say if you're mixing up, that means you just can't play man-to-man. Yeah, I would agree.
It was effective in the Raptors series, and now we're seeing it here, Ty, where the Celtics still can't do much on the offensive end. And look, this is something I don't always like being right. It doesn't sting necessarily when I'm right, but so far I told you Spoelstra was going to outcoach Brad Stevens, but I couldn't have expected what we're seeing right now. This is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Brad's doing a good job, and I think the player I almost fault the players more so than Brad. It's like these players should be able to hit some easy ass wide open jump shots that they're getting in the zone, and they're not doing it. And I know they're probably not being set up in the right positions to, succeed. So that's all on Brad as well. Like, they're pressing them. Like, I think they even mentioned on the broadcast tonight, Mark Jones and Van Gundy said they're pressing them and getting them when they cross half court at 16, and they have no time to really set up a play. And then you go back into a zone, it's even more time you got to try and get it and try and beat the shot clock. So too many times with 3-2-1 left in the shot clock, they're throwing up horrible-ass shots, so – I don't know. They keep picking on Kemba. He did return offensively tonight and play much better than he has in a long time. He had his first three, which was promising, his first shot of the game. But I don't know. I don't want to say the series is over because it's a 2-0 lead. And the Celtics are clearly the more talented team. But that's what makes it more frustrating is they're clearly more talented. But, like, this is obviously a better team of talent in the Miami Heat. They move better. They play better defense. They communicate better. They hustle more, and they're better coached.
So just real quick aside for everybody who's listening right now and watching, if you guys have anything you want to tell us, throw it in the chat. I'm seeing comments thrown up on Twitter, and I'll try and get to them, but throw it in the chat. It makes it a little bit easier on us to get it up here and pull it up. But you brought up, Ty, the hustle. The fact that they're the more skilled team, right? There's no question about it. The Celtics have gotten out-hustled throughout the entire series. yet they're in each game still till the very end. And this is exactly what we saw in the Raptors series. And that's what's so frustrating to me about this, Matt, is you can't go – like, it's one thing to be the less talented team. I think you actually said this in our chat as we're watching the game. But hustle is something that you can control. It's something we learn as kids. And every time we watch the Celtics team, it's like they almost know, yeah, we're the more talented team and it's going to carry us. It's freaking A, it's not. It's shown that in the first two games. You can't just go out and say, we're the better team. We're absolutely going to win. You should know that from last year.
Yeah, I mean, they got – I don't even know what the rebound was. But, there, I mean, there was possessions where they gave up four or five offensive rebounds. And rebounding, obviously, is effort. I mean, it's who wants the ball, who's locked in to go get the ball. And I just think the Miami Heat are – like you just said, they – and Ty said, they just – their effort plays – they've made more effort in winning plays, and they've closed out games. Gordon Dragic is closing out games, and the Celtics got nobody that's closing out games. That's mm-hmm. what it comes down to. Jimmy yeah. Butler and Gordon Dragic have closed out both games. The Celtics, Tatum, I don't know where the hell he is. He's a superstar, so everybody says, well, can you help close out a game? It was tied tonight after you gave up a 13-point lead after you sucked in the third quarter again, like, as a team. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's just a sense of urgency. Like, when you have a good first half like that, you have to close out the second quarter, which they didn't do. They should have been up 17 going into the halftime, and then they come out and let them hang around, and that's what happens when you let a good team hang around.
Yeah, there were a couple of plays, Ty, that Tatum made in the fourth quarter. Like, here and there, he made some plays, but I personally like what Jaylen Brown did a little bit more in the fourth quarter. And as much as I like that, I also look at it as, well, he scored 8 points coming into the fourth, and then he showed a little bit more aggression there, and he was able to find scoring inside. What do you think about the way he did in game two, what he played?
I thought he had the biggest mental lapse of the entire game. He let Tyler Hero, or not, I don't know if it's Hero or Adebayo, somebody came in with like 30 or 40 seconds left and got that offensive rebound when they were down two. Celtics get that rebound, they go down and have a chance to win the game. They mm-hmm. give up an offensive rebound, and the game's over from there. And if you go back and watch the play, it wasn't just Jaylen Brown I'm picking on here. All five Celtics ball watched in the zone defense on that final play. And Jaylen Brown's guy was the one who snuck right behind him and got the offensive rebound. So, I mean, screw what he did the entire fourth quarter to slash through the zone and make some plays, which he's one of the rare guys that actually can do that. Too many mental lapses from this team. Just like Matt said, a sense of urgency. This is the fucking playoffs. Like, this is Eastern Conference Finals, and you guys are just letting balls drop in the middle of the zone, watching, expecting someone else to go get the rebound. How about, like, two guys crash together for once to go for the rebound, rather than expect your teammate to go get it? Like, there's no sense of urgency with this team. And Brad, like, everyone's expecting Brad to be this guy to erupt and get a technical foul. Well, that's not going to happen. That's just not his coaching style. So
yeah. Nope.
This team is who they are right now, and they're not able to close out teams. And it's been a trend the entire playoffs.
Right. And we had somebody somebody on Twitter ask us, can we talk about Marcus Smart, how he's killing the momentum of this team? And I wanted to throw that to you. Yes. Before that, though, Gary Washburn is reporting this. I think I saw Malika Andrews throw something up, too, on Twitter. Marcus Smart is screaming in the Celtics locker room, and there is a bunch of arguing going on. Smart comes out saying, quote, y'all on that bullshit, close quote, team is imploding, Smart is in the bathroom, and there is still screaming coming from the locker room.
Well, he's a clown. His shot selection is hurting the team right now. Like, he makes a couple early in the game, and I've been on the anti-Marcus Smart train for a while, and I'm sorry, but, like, he makes great plays defensively, but he has defensive mental lapses where he lets his guy go get offensive rebounds. His shot selection, like, you're on the court with Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and Jaylen Brown. Do not take step back threes. That's mm-hmm. not your game. He has a hitch in his shot. I don't care if he's set, take the shot. That's fine. But step back threes, he may have made them in the first quarter, but not in the fourth quarter. Like, frame of mind. Understand who you're on the court with. Set them up for shots. I hate when he does it. I hate it. He makes one, and then it ruins the rest of the game.
I'm not saying you're wrong, Ty, but, like, this is my whole argument with this is, like, whose fault really is that?
I think when it's early in the shot clock, it's his.
No, it's Brad's fault.
No, it's not.
How is that not Brad? If you're a coach and you don't want that shot, you address that, no? Or you just, just keep playing him and let him take that shot.
What do you think he's going to do? You want him to bench him, Matt? Come on. You don't think Brad's told him he's had a bad shot selection?
So then take him out of the game. How is that not
and,
the coach's
and put in your guy Brad Wanamaker in crunch time? Come on.
He got you on that
No,
one.
But that's my point though, is that he enables this, those shots. No, clearly.
Brad, why yes, he lives and dies with it. It's won him playoff games and he's gonna die with it. So that's his he's gonna live and die with Marcus Smart in crunch time.
I don't blame Marcus Smart.
So you don't want Brad Stevens to play Marcus Smart in crunch time.
I'm telling you is that Brad enables that. I don't think he tells him that's bad shots.
I don't think he enables bad shots. He wants to have Marcus Smart in crunch time, and that is what you have to live with. That's not enabling. It's just like he's probably telling him every day.
Not if you coach them not to take those shots. Yes, that would happen. No?
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Marcus Smart continues to make bad shot selection in crunch time when you have three better offensive options in the court.
And Brad likes that.
And he's not
saying – Brad likes that.
I don't think Brad likes that. I think Brad is telling him every fucking day that's a bad shot selection, and he still takes it. That's his game.
If I was the coach, I would tell him I don't want you taking that shot. That's the difference.
And I'm sure he wouldn't listen to you. Like, he doesn't listen to Brad Stevens.
Okay, then I'll get his ass traded.
Oh, wow.
Let's trade Marcus Smart then. I would be all for it.
My point is we're going on this tunnel, but I'm telling you that Brad lets that happen.
This is supposed to be the leader of this fucking team, and he's imploding on them. They're done. That tweet right there proves to me this team is done.
There's no context in that. You don't know why he's imploding. Maybe a bunch of bitches.
More from Washburn. Smart wasn't the only one yelling. There were definitely items thrown and a lot of yelling. Hashtag Celtics. I don't know, guys. Like, this is – yeah, I mean, my first thought is they're screwed. They're done. But when Brad has said all year, and he said it coming into the postseason, this is a team where they're a unit. Is there any way – so Ty thinks they're done, Matt. Is there any way that this is actually a good thing that sets them on the right course?
Because of the implosion that's over, or is the series over because they're down 2-0? What question are you asking?
I'm asking about
It's a separate question.
I'm asking about the implosion.
I don't know. It depends what – no one – this guy's tweeting all this stuff. He doesn't know the actual context of why there is implosion. It could be a good thing. I don't know.
Okay.
Down 2-0, I don't think you can beat Miami 4 out of 6. I really don't. I think it's over in that sense. I don't think it's over because there's some infighting. Listen, when you go down 2-0 in a series and you lost two games that you could have won, guys get pissed. It's competition. It's not. I don't think I like that. There's some fire. It ain't holding your head down and feeling sorry for yourself. I like guys that are. I like that they're pissed. They should be pissed.
They should be. They're embarrassing. Their effort tonight is just so bad.
So there you go. So I don't.
They got their ass kicked in game one, and they should not be doing this in game two. Like, it's incredible how this happens.
Worries me the most with this whole implosion thing is not Jaylen Brown, is not Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart's going to come out and do what he thinks is best. And I understand Ty doesn't think what he thinks is best is always the right thing, but he's going to at least go and give full effort because he always does that every single time. Jaylen Brown, for the most part, is going to do the same thing. The guy that worries me most when this kind of shit happens is unquestionably Jason Tatum.
Yes. Because I feel like he's 2 3-point attempts. This kid is literally an all-NBA player, and Marcus Smart's taking 4 of them in the fourth quarter. This is probably the crux of the argument. Marcus Smart, I'm the fucking all-NBA player. Pass me the ball. That's probably what the argument is. I'm guessing, obviously. But like,
it's unacceptable what's going on. Tatum turns down shots. That's the issue.
Tatum was crying in the first quarter when Jaylen Brown wasn't giving him the ball in the corner. Like, he would cry when he's wide open.
Tatum turns down shots. He turns down way too many shots.
He does overpass. I agree with you, but he does cry when he's wide open and doesn't get the ball. So when he's not taking shots and they lose, he's probably fucking pissed right now.
Yeah. Well, he also cries when he doesn't get a call from the ref. So
yes,
when
he's never going to get one either. Yeah, he's not going to improve his whistle. He thinks it is.
So the Celtics lost this game by 5 points, 106-101. And just as a quick little thing, we always look at free throws throughout this series and the playoffs for them. They shot 79% from the line, not acceptable. They went 19 for 24 from the line. So they got to go perfect to end up forcing the tie, right? If I'm doing the math right. But they're shooting 35.7%. They're shooting average from 3-point right now. I think the big one, Matt, we brought up before was the rebounding, which is stunning, but the Celtics actually out-rebounded them, but the Heat had 11 offensive rebounds. And I think that's one of the spots that the Celtics got killed the most too, was those second chance opportunities. It's the effort. Like, you know, there's like bad decisions, Ty. I understand all that. But to me, the effort's the huge problem in all this. I mean, Smart took 13 shots. That's what he's been taking throughout the entire course of the series. And honestly, with the way Kem is playing, I've wanted Smart to shoot more or shoot what he's been shooting, because as much as it's like, Kemba's been shit. You know that he's been brutal for a little while now, and you got to get another guy. You got to get a third guy involved. No.
Yeah, you have to get a third guy involved, but when it's 8 seconds into the shot clock and he just takes one dribble and step back three, yeah, you might make it in the first half. Great, congratulations. It's still a bad shot. Like
that. Well, I know the one you're talking about. That was ballsy. Yeah, but that wasn't a bad shot because they were trying to get a 2-for-1. I mean, do I want him taking it? No, but I understood why he took it. But I agree with you, Ty, when you talk about his shot selection. There's times he shoots shots, and I'm like, what in the hell?
Transition threes? Like that, we can get a better shot than that.
He took a mid-range today in the fourth quarter. It was a horrible shot.
Fade away. Like, he's Kawhi Leonard.
But my problem is, it's like they obviously don't, like, practice against a zone or, like, whatever, because – Marcus Smart was catching the ball in the middle of the zone and, like, looking to pass it back out to the three. They should have a dude down in the dunk spot or, like, I call it the short corner, and diving in for layups. Mm. Like, I don't understand. Like, I've never seen I guess I never would think that an NBA coach team with NBA players who are very talented cannot beat a 2-3 zone.
Matt, you coach, when something works in a game, don't you go back to it multiple times?
Ty, two things. One, I tweeted this and people are loving it because it's true. I said my eighth grade basketball team runs a better zone offense than the Celtics. That is a fact. That is a fact. But, the beat a zone is really not that hard. You just need to move the ball and put people in the right spots. But I don't even know what Brad's trying to do. A lot of times they're trying to screen the zone, which has worked sometimes. But, like, Miami's quick and stuff, and they're just gambling. Like, all you got to do is just get the – you either need to invert the zone or put someone in the middle and get the ball to the middle of the floor. And then – but I would put someone not like Marcus Smart in the middle.
No.
Put a scorer in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. I don't –
I think we saw that a little bit in the Raptors series with Tatum a few times.
Yeah, anybody. Just – you want to get the ball to the middle of the floor and then have someone that's a playmaker or someone that can score. But, my God, it's just – it really is embarrassing. And tonight, like, game one, you know, the loss, it hurt because they should have won. Tonight, it's like you're up double digits at half. Have some sense of urgency and step on their neck. Yeah.
Yes, yes. No, that's,
step on their neck.
That's the problem.
Tonight's loss, in my opinion, is way worse because they got outworked and they got outcoached, and it was blatant.
I had a couple people ask me before this, coming into game two, how do you feel about the series after the loss, whatever. Well, after thinking about it a little bit more, my thing that scares me most is it was Jimmy Butler already, but, like, he sets the tone for this team. We all know that already, but he has to look at this just like the three of us do. This is the Celtics' best chance to win a title over the next few years, because who knows where Giannis goes. It could get a lot tougher. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be a lot tougher. The Clippers are going to come back with a vengeance after that embarrassing exit. And then who knows what the Nuggets are going to turn into, but more importantly, the Lakers too. This is their best chance, right? So, but the Celtics are young. They're stupid, you know, whatever. They can just look at it the wrong way. Jimmy Butler, a guy who's a seasoned vet, he knows this shit may not happen again. He may not have another chance. And these other guys that are his teammates now, they've been listening to him. They're going to know that same shit too. So they're playing with that sense of urgency. We saw that, and that's where it's like this. We saw that again tonight. The infighting's a problem. But I just – honestly, I think the, you know, they want it more is a very overused take, honestly. But in this case, to me, it seems applicable. It's not what?
No, I agree with you. It's not.
Well, in general, I think it's overused. Here, though, it's totally –
yeah, no, I think it's true. That's why that infighting thing, when I heard that, I wasn't like, oh, boy. They're done. No, I honestly, if you have some pride, you should be pissed. There should be some arguing within your team. And I mean, I think it all depends how you come out in game three. You better, if you go down swinging, see, like, I'm not mad at tonight if they went down swinging. They didn't go down swinging. It's like Ty said, there was rebounds hitting the floor. Go get the goddamn ball.
Like, oh, my God. The one with Tyson out of bio that turned into a jump ball. I understand there was some issues with the shot clock. But Tyson like waited like a good like 2 seconds before he went to the floor. What the fuck are you waiting for? Get down there and get the fucking ball.
Yeah, no.
Where's that instinct?
Right now, Miami Heat are making all the winning plays and the hustle plays. And when the teams are that close in talent, like, you know, Miami's got some talent, they're going to win. That's what it comes down to.
Yep. That's for damn sure. I mean, when what's his face, Duncan Robinson is not fouled out early in the game, 6 or 12 from three. I mean, you know, that you don't get him in foul trouble. He plays 32 minutes. It's huge problems. Now, we did see a little bit of Kansas, and I just didn't want to touch on that. He had a good game. Got to give him credit. What was it, six rebounds and 9 points in 11 minutes? Ty, did you have anything to add about Romeo Langford and his impactful performance?
No, I hope this like prompts him to get surgery so he's fine to go when the next season starts, because it'll be a rotation player they need.
Oh,
one more thing. Why didn't he go back to Enes Kanter, who gave him great minutes early?
It's a great question.
Did it seem like he was obviously he hasn't been playing. He didn't play the whole. It seemed like he was like gassed in one of those stretches. No.
Oh yeah, he hasn't been doing shit. He hasn't been running. Like their practices are nothing. You know, he does nothing.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's not why he didn't come back.
And He has a great tan though.
I was just curious if that was one of the reasons, because I saw him after one of the timeouts. He looked like he was about to die. But I thought it was great. I was happy they put him in, because I'm like, Robert Williams hasn't really had much of an impact. And Kanter can make an impact. I mean, he struggles in the pick and roll and they'll go
one
out.
One way or the other, he's going to make an impact.
But he gave you stuff on the offensive end that I liked.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing with Romeo, though, actually wasn't his wrist. It was like an abductor. Something in his leg.
Flexor.
It's always something with him, man. It's always something with him.
He's always hurt. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I think that's to the IU guys. That's just a thing with them. That's what I've heard, at least. It's in the water. All right, so game three is on Saturday. And I don't think any – I think it's safe to say that none of us feel good going into
this. Do or die.
Yep.
Hey, all you can hope for is Gordon Hayward comes back, but I just feel like he's not.
Everybody who's been listening to the show all season long, that is where we're at now. Matt is hoping that Gordon Hayward can come back and make a difference.
You need something, because Semi Ojeleye is ass.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but you are the last person to say that, pretty much.
Would you go as far as saying if he does not return next game, the series is over?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far. No,
yes.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Listen, I told you before. I've said it last time after they beat the Raptors that I think they need Gordon Hayward to beat the Heat. Like, I'm not. I only said that they didn't need Gordon Hayward to beat the Sixers or Toronto, which I was correct about. But to win a championship, you need your whole team. And without Gordon Hayward, I didn't think they had a real good shot in the series. I thought he was going to come back midway, but who knows? I don't know. Who the hell knows? But they need something. They need a spark. Or they need just some fight, and maybe this infighting, maybe Marcus Smart beat the crap out of somebody. Hopefully, you know, hopefully it was just Semi Ojeleye so he doesn't play in the next game. But I don't know.
Semi's so bad. I don't want to see him anymore.
He's so bad.
All right, hanging fruit.
Play Javonte Green over him.
Yes, I'd be down for Javonte. I'd be down for anybody at this point.
I think he's still out. But I wouldn't mind seeing Javonte either. What the hell, right? Why not? Let's see Carson Edwards out there too and Tremont. Do you guys have anything else before we put this painful one to rest?
Well, season, hey, game three.
It was a fun season.
That's it right there.
Ty is declaring it dead. Matt and I are not far off.
I can't believe I thought this team was a five-game series in favor of the Celtics.
I'll tell you right now, if they have some goddamn pride, they win game three. If they have some pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, get the broom out.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if they lose the next game with that, like, next? I mean, if they lose the next game in game three, the series is over. But if they like flame out like this, this whole offseason, which is only going to be a month and a half, is going to be all about like get rid of Gordon, get rid of Kemba, fire Brad, he's on the hot seat. Like, if they flame out like this, guys, there's a lot of storylines that we have to watch about big moves.
The thing is, that's just so we talk about how they're the more talented team too, and you can say it's kind of easy to throw that out there. Oh, they're the more talented team. Look at all the losses that they have. They're all close games. Look at their wins. They're usually more a little bit more sizable. I know game seven against the Raptors was like a 5-point win or whatever, but they're all a little bit more sizable. That's because they're the fucking better team, and they should not be losing these games.
They don't have a closer.
One last thing, one last stat we can close this out with. The Celtics is from your friend Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob on Twitter. Celtics third quarter point differentials in the conference semifinals, going from game one of the Toronto series to now. -2, -10, -6, -8, -3, -8, -3. Game one of this series was +12, awesome. And then you came back tonight and ruined that trend after you bucked it, and it was -20 tonight. They're getting destroyed in the third quarters. It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
Just so everybody knows, Marcus Smart has denied to talk to the media tonight. So
bad look, bad choice. Can't do it.
There you go. So
you win, you lose. You gotta talk to the media.
Oh, what? Jake McElroy says the closer. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I don't want Kyrie. He ain't a closer. You know who's a closer? Kobe. That's who's a closer.
But it's been a while since we heard Kobe brought up on the show. With that, we will talk to you all after game three.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. I just wanna be alright with it. I'm just tryna see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions, I'm just hoping for some.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.